And remember, my class is about remembering how loved you are, how powerful you are, how beautiful you are, how you create your reality, how you're not alone. I want people to come here because they want to be reminded of the truth that they've forgotten about themselves. More so than thinking we're going to figure the truth out and we're going to analyze it to death until we get what it means. I could care less about that so much as us remembering what we need to remember to have peace. And so the first thing it says we need to do is switch from the mind we use in the world every day to the mind that created us. So this song kind of reminds us of what we are here for. So I'd like to ask you to just breathe and relax and just cool out. Have a good time. You're doing it on your own. It's where you are not calling on something more powerful than you to help you. The purpose of this class is not to be another class that does self-empowerment in the sense that we're used to self-empowerment, which means give me some more information that I can try to use on my own to fix things. Tell me another way I can do it on my own, which is most self-help classes. They're mostly about strengthening your ego. How you can do it by yourself. I mean, the course says, well, actually, there's a lot easier way that we could do it. We could have the part of us that really loves us and is really powerful just create our reality for us. And that would be a lot easier. But usually, the Course says, a person doesn't get to that point until they crash, until they reach their limit of trying to figure it out on their own. So most people get into the truth out of a sense of desperation. It's the last resort. I tried everything else. Now I got to go see my astrologer. Now I got to come to my truth class. I've done all I could do. That's what I used to do. Anybody relate to what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Am I by myself? Okay. I'm going to start off today on page... There's some extra books up here up front if anybody wants to follow along. I'll be on page 29 first if you got the Course of Miracles text. I'm going to start with paragraph 4. And if you're thinking about it and you got a cell phone, this would be a good time to turn it off. Paragraph 4 says, I'm going to do 3. I think that's even. Paragraph 2. And I'm going to read the paragraph. It says, I don't foster level confusion, but you must choose the correct level confusion. You would not excuse insane behavior on your part by saying you couldn't help it. You wouldn't excuse insane behavior on your part by saying you couldn't help it. Why should you condone insane thinking? You wouldn't condone insane behavior. He says, why should you condone insane thinking? There's a confusion here that you would do well to look at clearly. You may believe that you are responsible for what you do, but not for what you think. You may believe you're responsible for what you do, but you don't believe you're responsible for what you think. Truth is that you are responsible for what you think, because it's only at the thinking level that you can exercise choice. So you are responsible for what you think, and what you think is determining the way you feel. You're responsible for what you think, and what you think is determining the way you feel right now. You're responsible for what you think, and it's what you're thinking that's determining how you're feeling right now. He says, what you do comes from what you think. So therefore, you can't separate yourself from the truth by giving autonomy to behavior. So I can't separate myself from the truth by continuing to say, I can't help it. I'm just this way, I can't help it. I was raised this way, I just can't help it. The Course says we can't keep ourselves separate from the truth by telling ourselves, I just can't help it. Because that giving autonomy to behavior. And their behavior is just automatic. I just couldn't help it. I just had to go off on you. I just couldn't help it. Before I knew it, I threw that pan. I just couldn't help it. Autonomy, I lost my temper. That I just can't help it. So just because you just can't help it, the Course says, that still don't mean you don't have to. You still have to practice the truth if you want to get out of it. So I can't help it is not an excuse for not applying the truth. As a matter of fact, I can't help it is the only thing that, the truth is the only thing that will get you out of that level of consciousness. Okay? Then it says, that what I like about the Course is that it applies to everything. You can apply what I'm saying to anything you think you're going through right now, anything that you think you're feeling. We can't condone insane behavior, so we also shouldn't condone our insane thinking. Everything you do, everything you choose is coming from what you think, and what you think is determining how you feel, and just because you got a habit, there's no excuse for not being able or not having to practice the truth. So I don't care how I was brought up, if I want to have peace, I'm still going to have to practice the truth. I don't care what I went through, I'm still going to have to practice the truth if I want to get out of it. It's not punishment, that's just the law. Okay, it's not punishment. That's just the way it is. So the Course says, now, when it talks about, he says, this is controlled by me automatically as soon as you place what you think under my guidance. It's talking about your higher self. So it's talking about you can have your higher self control your behavior. We can have a higher power. We can have love. We can have love control our behavior. But the Course says, in order to do that, you have to what? You have to allow your mind to be guided by your higher self. How do you control a person's behavior? Well, the way you control a person's behavior is to put what they think under your guidance. As soon as you let me guide your thinking, then I'm controlling your behavior. So if you ever want your behavior controlled by God or love, then you have to let your thinking be guided by it. So I used to think that, so that helped me out a lot, because that helps me understand that when I say allowing, surrendering to God merely means allowing myself to think the new thoughts that I'm studying. Allowing myself to think the new ways that I'm being taught will control my behavior. What happens a lot in the truth path is people hear the guidance, but they don't let it control their behavior by following it. So if I come to a class, most people that come to my class drop off within about a month or so, partially because that's all they can take. And partially because you can only hear something so long without starting to apply it before you go to the next recipe. If I'm not ready to bake the cake yet, then I'll listen to this recipe for a while, I'll get bored with it, and then I go to somebody else's recipe, and that's called the next class, the next book, the next group. Okay? So ask yourself, are you really applying your truth, or are you just collecting recipes and calling it being on your spiritual path? Is it really how many books you read, or is it how much I'm allowing myself to realize that if I'm upset right now, it's coming from the way that I'm thinking, and that's what's determining the way that I'm feeling, and I can help the way that I'm feeling. I don't have to respond this way. All I have to do is put my thinking under the guidance of a sane way of thinking and start using a new sane way of thinking, and my behavior will automatically change. So you don't have to worry about your behavior changing when you change your thinking. When you change your thinking, your behavior automatically shifts. If your behavior has not shifted, your thinking hasn't shifted, no matter what you're telling yourself. If you're saying I'm ready to love and trust and extend to people more, but you find that your behavior is one that you're not extending to anybody any more than you ever did, I don't care how many books you're reading, then your thinking hasn't changed yet. So you cue by your behavior whether or not your thinking has changed, even though you don't try to change your way of thinking by changing your behavior. You change your way of behaving by changing your thinking. It's just the opposite. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
All right. So this section that I'm covering right now is called Fearing Conflict. It's talking about how fear and conflict happens and how you get rid of fear and conflict, which I think is a really worthwhile kind of a thought, because I have some fears and conflicts in some areas that I'd like to re-perceive. So number one is that's why you feel responsible. Blah, 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 blah. This is controlled by me automatically as soon as you place what you think under my guidance. Whenever you are afraid, it's a sure sign that you have allowed your mind to miscreate. Now, how do you allow your mind to miscreate? You allow your mind to miscreate by not allowing your inner spiritual self to guide it. By not allowing God to guide your mind, he says, that's how you allow your mind to miscreate. And you can tell when you're not letting your mind be directed by the truth, because you will feel afraid. You will feel in conflict. That's how, just your cue. If I'm in conflict, my mind is not being guided by the truth. Because if I was really listening to the truth, I wouldn't be afraid. So the idea that I'm into the truth but I'm scared all the time is contradictory. I'm into love but I'm afraid is contradictory. So the first step to healing my mind is to recognize that my fear could be used as a cue to let me know what's really going on. So then my fear could actually help me recognize the truth. I'm afraid, I'm mad, I'm angry, I'm depressed. I'm not allowing my mind to be guided by the truth. So instead of saying I'm depressed, I would walk in the door and say, right now I'm not allowing my mind to be guided by God. Right now I'm not allowing my mind to be guided by the truth, and so I'm depressed. That would be much better than saying I'm depressed because I didn't get the raise. No, you're depressed because you're not letting the truth look at that situation so that you can see that situation in such a way you wouldn't be depressed. That's where the depression is coming from, not the fact that you didn't get the raise. It's coming from the way you're looking at it, not getting the raise. Okay. Then it goes on to say, this is why you feel responsible for it. You must change your mind, not your behavior. You must change your mind, not your behavior. You must change your mind, not your behavior. And changing your mind is a matter of willingness. How much I change my mind is a matter of willingness. You don't need guidance. You don't need guidance. You don't need guidance. You don't need guidance except at the mind level. So the only level I need guidance is at the thinking level. The only level a person needs guidance is at the thinking level. And then he says correction belongs only at the level where change is possible. So correction belongs only at the level where change is possible is where correction belongs. Where is the level that change is possible? It's at the level of the mind. So really, correction is always correction of the mind. Any real correction is correction of the mind. Any real correction is never correction of behavior, because you can behave opposite to the way that you think. So you can act like you like me and hate my guts. It's not until you really don't hate me that you change your mind. We can act any kind of way on the outside. Behavior is not necessarily the best way to judge somebody's inner motivation. Right? So real change is at the mind level. So he says change doesn't mean anything at the symptom level. Where is the symptom level? It's the level where healing doesn't work. So to always work on at the effect level does not change anything. It's not until you work at the causative level that you change things. That's why changing people in relationships does not necessarily change a person's experience of relationship. Because as long as they take the same erroneous attitudes into each relationship, then they're going to have the same thing happen. So just because you changed the form or the effect or the symptom level, you didn't make a real change until you changed your mind. If I give everybody in the room the same script, I'm going to get the same play. No matter how many bodies I give the script to, I could give everybody in this room this book and say, read the first line. And even though everybody in this room looks different, everybody would read the same line. That's what happens in your relationships. You give them the same line. And so therefore you get the same script. And I think if I change enough bodies, everybody know at the 915th wrong relationship, it just turns right. So if you just keep doing the thing that doesn't work long enough, sooner or later, it just turns into the right thing. I just haven't done the wrong thing with enough people yet. And that's the problem that I'm having with my relationship. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, what I try to do in the Course in Miracles is actually go through the Course in Miracles. I know it's rough. But I think that's what you're supposed to do in a Course in Miracles class. And sometimes it upsets people because they actually be hearing the Course. And then they say the Course is hard to understand. Have you not understood anything that I've just said? I've been reading it right out of the Course. But you pick it up on your own and go, I can't understand nothing that that book is saying. They look like Japanese or English words. I mean, have y'all ever tried? And you pick it up and you go, what the hell did I just get through reading? I don't understand. That's a very normal response to the Course in Miracles because it truly is different. That's what kind of piqued my curiosity. So, any questions about the first two paragraphs that I covered? Any comments? Because I welcome questions. Questions really allow Spirit to come through and use me. So if you don't want to feel better, don't ask me no questions. Okay. Everybody's clear on that. You have no problem with whatsoever. You got that. That's like in your soul right now. You totally understand the last two paragraphs that I just said. You got it, right? I said close your books and gave you a pop quiz. Everybody in here, make an A.
Okay. I got a question.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
You must change your mind, not your behavior. This is a matter of willingness.
Right.
How do you increase your willingness?
You increase your willingness by recognizing the benefit that what you're about to do is going to give you. You know, if you really want to kiss somebody, it's a matter of willingness. And if you feel like it would make you feel better to do it, and you could do it, you'd be willing to do it. So willingness is directly related to how much I feel what I'm about to do is going to benefit, heal me, bring peace and joy in my experience, and how I feel about myself most of all. Because if I don't love myself, if I don't care for myself, if I hate myself, I'm not going to be willing to do anything that's going to make me feel better. There's two yous. There's the real you, and there's the phony you. The phony you is the you you've made up. The phony you is the you you're telling yourself you are all day long. I'm going through this, I'm going through that, I feel this way, I feel that way, this is what's going to happen, this is what I need to be happy, this is what I want. That's the phony you. That's the you that you're making up, that you've been making up since the day you were born, to the point that now you think it's you. And the Course is saying, that ain't you. And then they say, well, how do you know it's not you? You're afraid. You don't feel peace. You're not satisfied. Whatever you get, you want more. That must not be you, because God would not have created you as something that could never be satisfied and never be fulfilled. And certainly God wouldn't have created it where it depended on you having something you couldn't have right now, because if it was something you couldn't have right now, then you can't have it at all. So it would only be the you that you made up that would make up the concept of having what you want in the future based on what you've experienced in the past, which allows you to completely overlook the intervening present, which is where everything that you want is located. So the average person is either sitting here thinking about what's happened to them, or they're sitting here thinking about what's going to be doing later on today. I bet a bunch of you are doing it right now. That part of us that does that is the part of us we made up that keeps us from being in touch with the power and the love and the peace we can have right in the present moment, because we overlook the present moment. He says we only see the present moment as this little brief opportunity to further project what you want a little further out.
That's what I'm using right now for it. To say it's going to be this evening. And this evening, I'm going to say it's going to be tonight. And then tonight, I'm going to say in the morning. Then in the morning, I'm going to say in the evening. And in the evening, I'm going to say tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to say the next. You know, it's like we never actually right here, right now. That's why breathing is so good, because breathing allows you to come right into your body. That's why we like pleasure and pain, because pleasure and pain brings you right into your body. Somebody give you some physical pleasure, you're right there. You know? Except then you start wondering, how long is it going to last? If you can recreate it next week, we're gone again. We go. Should I feel guilty? Yeah, we'll be everywhere, but now. Okay? So, anyway, I don't know if that answered your question, but it answered mine. It sure helped me. I thought that answer was so helpful to me.
It
was good to you, too. All right. Too bad we don't smoke. We didn't. All right, did you finish? Yeah, that was all right with me, girl. Good. Anybody else? Well, it's not about how fast you do it. The course actually says read me slowly. Fast reading is another trick. It just gives you more stuff not to remember. He should have covered 5 pages that I don't remember what he said today. Okay. All right. Okay, cool.
Pass this around for me, please. And if you haven't signed it this year and you'd like to, then put me on that's the contact list.
Okay, all right, let me go on then. The correction of fear is your responsibility. The correction of fear is your responsibility. When you ask or release from fear, you are implying that it's not your responsibility to release you from fear. I'm asking God to please release me from fear. Well, you're acting like it's not your responsibility to release you from fear. He says, what you should ask, instead of asking to be released from the thing that's wearing you, instead of asking to be released from the condition that's upsetting you, the Course says what you should do is ask for help in the conditions that brought that fear or worry about. I need help in the conditions that brought this feeling about. A biblical metaphor for that would be if I'm walking through the woods and I see a bear and I'm afraid, if you take the bear away, I'll take the fear away. Because you just corrected the condition that was called, that I was using to cause me to fear. So most of you just ask, so I just see the bear charging me and I go, would you please just release me from the fear? The bear still eats you. But you wouldn't be afraid if you were being munched. Because you ask for the fear, the spirit says, okay, you have no fear. Well, no, what you wanted was the bear to be removed. So, if I'm always having fear and upset in my relationships, then I need to ask for help in the conditions or the thoughts that I'm using to create the relationship that's causing me fear. And from a Course perspective, what it's saying right here is that the problem is always coming from the willingness to be separate. That every single problem that we think we have comes from the belief that we're separate from each other. Every problem that you think you have comes from the idea of being separate. Every problem, no matter what it looks like, every problem we have, the Course teaches, comes from believing that we are willing to be separate. Separate from what? Separate from my good, separate from my joy, separate from you, separate from my happiness, separate from my innocence, separate from my spirit, separate from the truth. My willingness to be separate is the problem. Why don't I have a relationship that's in union and love? I'm willing to be separate. I want to be separate. How do you know? I'm scared to death to have one. Well, that's a willingness to be separate. There are fearful people asking for a relationship without realizing that being afraid when you're asking for it means you don't really want it. And so the universe loves you enough not to give you something that will scare you. But the part of you that doesn't love you will go out and make the relationship that scares you. Because something that loves you is not going to give you what makes you afraid. So if you're afraid of abundance, afraid of love, afraid of peace, afraid of God, then it's not showing up, because if it loves you, it's not going to show up to scare you. So if I hate it, if I condemn it, which I hear people do a lot, they hate and condemn the thing they say they want. They say they want wealth and they condemn wealth to people. They say they want money and they say money is the root of all evil. Then they're condemning what they say they want. And that's not requesting it. Because what loves you wouldn't give you what makes you afraid. Does that make sense? Now, so what doesn't love you will give it to you. So then you do get a relationship, but if you don't have any peace in it, because it wasn't sent to you by love, it was sent to you by the part of you that doesn't like you. Because the part of you that likes you wouldn't send you a relationship. Because you're afraid of them.
That helps me feel better.
Really?
Yeah.
I felt real good when a friend of mine told me all the reasons why a woman would never want me. And they told sense. Okay. Not the average person. Not a person that's in the world's spouse system. They wouldn't be interested in me. A woman or a man that thinks that they're our body and thinks that they're separate and thinks that they're a victim and thinks that love is limitation and exclusion and believes that you control and possess another person. No, they would not be interested in me. I would be their worst nightmare. Male or female, I'd be their worst nightmare, because those who are afraid need to control. Those who are not afraid can never be controlled. So I could never be controlled. So the only person that could love me would be somebody that had a respect for freedom. Somebody who sees love as limitation would not be attracted to me, which would be the best thing for both of us, which I think would be like the blessing of the gods. Because there are people with great bodies, they got sense. Sometimes it looks like it's not that way. Sometimes it looks like the people you're physically attracted to are always people who don't have no sense. Have you noticed that? If you would look back through your love life, having the people you were turned on that was crazy as a loony, that just absolutely had no sense of a compassion, understanding, freedom, self-confidence, that you were chasing at the bit to get to them. Mm-hmm. And then the ones who are sane and peaceful, they're your friends. Yeah. They go straight to the friend zone. It's so fast. You're a nice guy. Friend. Which is kind of cool, because it wouldn't make sense to want to keep the same one around for a lifetime and just kind of enjoy the insane when you get rid of them fast as you can. So I kind of understand these things better than I used to understand. I had a whole new perception than I used to. You don't want the crazy people to last forever, so you just suck every energy you can get out of them and then be through. And then once you know the same and cool that you want to be with forever, well, then you make sure you don't get intimate with them, because then you know it'll last, because you know what's happened to your other intimate relationships. They wouldn't want to get last. So then when you meet a person, you pretty much ask yourself, do I want this to last forever? Then I'm not going to get intimate. If I don't want to last forever, let's get intimate. Or, now I'm just talking about with the fearful mind. Now, with loving minds that know the truth, it doesn't work like that. You can express yourself on any level and the relationship can last. Because it's based on taking responsibility, them knowing that the way that they're feeling and thinking is coming from them knowing that the feeling that they're having with you is coming from them and it's not even coming from you. Did you know that? Did you know that everything you've ever felt with anybody at any level you ever felt it, you were the one that gave yourself that feeling through them? They did not give you that feeling at all? Sometimes we forget that. We actually think that our pleasure comes from somebody else instead of realizing that we give ourselves the pleasure about them. So you touch me, I feel good because I chose to, not because you touched me. If I had to feel good when you touched my shoulder, then anybody could touch my shoulder and I feel good. Some people touch my shoulder, don't feel good. So what's the difference? It's the same spot. Well, the way I'm looking at it is the difference. So if you no longer turned on in your relationship, you just stopped turning your cell phone. It wasn't that they were responsible for you being turned on, now they're not doing what they used to do. You're just not seeing it the way you used to see it. You changed your mind about their touch. And then you blame them for not doing enough to make you give it to yourself again. I'm mad. Why? You not making me give it to myself like I used to with you. I could give it to myself without you. Save some money. Add $4 a gallon. What is it you want to go on that day for? So I can get that feeling they give me. You can get yourself that feeling at home and save yourself some money. Not anybody that's physically making you feel anything. There were some people that read that in the course, but that's the truth. We know it's the truth. That's what I like about this book. So it says the correction of fear is your responsibility. When you ask for release from fear, say you're implying it's not your responsibility. So you should ask instead for what? Helping the conditions that brought the fear about. These conditions that brought the fear about always entail a willingness to be separate. At the level of the willingness to be separate, you can help it. What does that mean? It means you're much too tolerant of mind wandering. Just kind of picture that. You're much too tolerant of mind wandering. You're much too... That's your mind. Okay. Then it says, what does that mean? You always say it with the course.
What does that mean?
It means you are passively condoning your mind's miscreations. I'm passively letting myself continually think the wrong way.
Yeah.
I'm passively just thinking all these insane thoughts and just letting myself think them. I'm passively condoning. The Course says, what does that mean? Well, the particular result of passively condoning your mind's miscreations doesn't matter. But the fundamental error does matter. That you're passively condoning your mistaken, he says, that isn't really the issue. You know, it says you're passively condoning your mind's miscreations. The result of your misthinking doesn't matter. So your misthinking may result in a relationship that you don't like. It may result in a financial situation you don't like. Your misthinking may result in some circumstance that you don't like right now. Agree?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever the result is that you're focusing on that you don't like, that's what doesn't matter. The result doesn't matter. What matters is I'm passing and miscondoning my mind's miscreations, and that's what's creating the problem. That's what matters, is my misthinking, not the result. In the world, we're just the opposite. We all focused on the situation that we're upset about, but we're not focused on what created the situation we're upset about. That's what it just said. We condone our wrong thinking and then try to fix the thing that's happened as a result of it without correcting our wrong thinking. It's like exposing a person to radioactivity creates an illness, right? So you spend all your time trying to get rid of the illness that the person has from being exposed to radioactivity. What you should get rid of is the radioactivity. Then you're going to get rid of the problem. But just, it's like some person being burned in a fire. You grab them out the fire, you nurse them back to health for 10 months, then you put them back in the fire. So you need to get rid of the fire of your mind that is not correct. Not trying to fix all the stuff that the fire has burned. Don't rebuild your house right back in the flood zone. That's why people say, well, I'm going to give it another shot. As soon as this flood water's gone, I'm building again. I'm like, you're crazy. It can happen again. As long as the river is there, the causative factor is there. Does it make any sense to anybody but me? I live in Tornado Alley and I'm shocked my house was blown away. Does that make any sense to anybody beside me? It was like, if you really don't want your house blown down, what do you do? You leave the area where tornadoes happen all the time. If I really want to leave the kind of relationships I've been going through that doesn't bring me peace, I leave the state of mind that created them.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Thank you for having me remember this stuff. You know, because that's what we're here for, to remember together. Okay, so the Course says the correction is always the same. That's what's cool about the Course. It says, it'd be a lot easier to remember a correction if it was always the same one.
If
there's one way for me to handle this and it always works, that seems like that would be easier to remember than 1,000 different ways I need to relate to 1,000 different things. I don't know why. That just seems to make more sense to me. So he says, the correction is always the same. Here it goes. Before you ask to do anything, did it say anything?
Anything.
Didn't exclude parking spaces, did it? Some people say that you don't ask God about parking spaces. You ask God about anything you want to. All right. So the Course says, before you choose to do anything, ask me, ask your higher self, ask Spirit, ask Jesus, ask whatever that name is you use that describes that which created us and its creation, since we're into names. It says, ask me if your choice is in accord with mine. If your choice is in accord with yourself, there will be no fear. If you're really in accord with yourself when you make a decision, you will feel inspired. You won't feel afraid. I really made a choice from deep within my soul, and I'm scared to death. Red flag, red flag, red flag. No, no, no. If you made a decision from within yourself, you name it with your higher self, you name it with the truth in you, you name it with the love in you, you feel better. You don't go, God told me to do this and I'm scared to death. I'm scared. I prayed last night and the decision I made just got me scared. No, then you're not in accord with yourself yet. You still don't think you're doing what you want to do. That's what that means. You're not in accord. Then it goes on to say, there will be no fear. What does that mean? There will be no fear. What does that mean? There will be no fear. But what about, there will be no fear. But what about, there will be no fear. But, you know, sometimes it is God, and I'm afraid of it. There will be no fear. You have to take a stand. If I'm in accord with myself, if I'm really listening to myself, if I'm really in accord with spirit, if I'm unified in my desire, I won't feel afraid about it. Take a stand so you can be guided. Because as long as it could go either way, how can you tell the difference between whether spirit or you? If it's the same result, how can you tell the difference? If love has fear and hate in it, what's the difference from hate? How can you tell whether it's the love kind of hate or regular hate? I want to kill you, but I love you. I want to kill you, but I hate you. What's the difference? If the outcome is the same, how can what I'm being presented with be different? No, you have to take a stand. If you love me, you won't attack me. 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 When you love me, you don't attack me. When you love me, you don't attack me. I'm sorry, there is no attack in love. There is no attack in love. There is no attack in love. And that freaks the human mind out because it's so used to compromise. It doesn't know what it's like to be in a relationship where you're only treated like you're a king or a queen. So it has to enter in, well, you can love me and still mistreat me sometimes. The court says, no, no, no. You don't mistreat me when you love me, period. You don't attack me when you love me, period. Period. But I won't attack you. Well, you've been in fear right now. I won't attack you. Well, right now you lost sight of who I really am, and your thinking is miscreating, and you're passing and condoning your wandering mind. If you wander too close, won't attack me, I got to take a stand. Somebody who loves Earl is not somebody who wants to hurt Earl. I'm sorry. You don't love me and want to hurt me. Period. Wow. You have to take a stand. Mm-hmm. People are afraid to do that because they're not capable of doing it themselves. You know, I'm not capable of loving you without getting upset. Well, then you know what you need to work on. Now you know where you start. Letting go of the blocks that keep you from being loving all the time. That's what we do in a spiritual class for real. Like right now, we're letting go of the false ideas that keep us from having peace. It's an undoing process, not a doing. That's why it's faster. It's undoing. It doesn't take as long to unravel a ball of string as it does to wind it up. So you've been winding up all your life. Winding, 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 winding. And the course is saying, throw that ball and watch it unravel. And when it unravels, there is a period where it is unraveling, and you'll say, I feel like everything is unraveling. I got in this class, and it seems like everything in my life is unraveling. Yeah, that's a good thing. Are you feeling disoriented, confused, in chaos? Yeah, great. Means you're actually challenging yourself, letting go of some ideas. You're actually doing something different now. I'm proud of you. So if it looks like the bottom's falling out of your existence, I'm happy for you. It means you change something. You start to look at something different. And now your universe is trying to rearrange itself, realign itself with what would really make you happy. And in the meantime, you're freaking out because it looks like everything and everybody around you is changing and coming in and out and going. And it just means that the universe is now moving you in a direction that will bring you peace. And some of the things that it looks like you're losing are just things you don't need no more. There is nobody absent from your life that you need. There's nobody absent from your life right now that you need.
Wow.
There's no one absent from your life right now that you need. There's no one absent from your life right now that you need. No one. Everybody in your life right now is exactly what you need right now. Nobody's missing that you need.
But I know I need them. I know I need him. I know this officer was there. They was here. I'm there.
Are they here?
No.
Then you don't need them.
Don't need them. That's cool.
But see, I don't like you to feel like that's true about me. Like, you know, you let me go, you're going to be needing me, missing me. You don't you hate it when somebody leaves you and then they feel better?
Yeah.
The next time you talk to them, how you doing? Great! My life has never been better. That's why I'm a culture. You can always tell who has to break up things and get better. That's the one calling. Whoever's the one doing the phone call is the one who's not happy. They didn't find something better than the thing that they lost. The one that gave that better, they don't call. Why? They're too busy. Having a good time. With the person that's there when. Now, the person is weary and trying to get the other person back, they're not present. They're thinking about the past. So therefore, they're missing all the opportunities to have the same kind of relationship right now because they're looking for the person that's gone. And then they're comparing everybody they meet with that person. And they only want to accept people that remind them of that person. So they miss the person. I mean, I met a person one time and they was talking about the person that they broke up with for 2 years and they thought they still should be there. So maybe even though the person got a restraining order out on them. Which is a hint from the universe, they may not be your soulmate. Sometimes people miss the obvious, you understand? But when I'm with a person and all they're talking about is who's not there, I'm not interested. So the person who possibly could have been the person that could be cool, they didn't even see me. They was too busy seeing somebody that wasn't there, having a relationship with somebody that wasn't there. I want a relationship with somebody that's having a relationship with me. Now, how do I know they're having a relationship with me? Well, they realize I'm not the person they were with before. Well, what does that mean? You give me the benefit of the doubt completely because I'm not the person you were with before. So you don't judge me by what that person did. So you come to me completely open, not with trust and openness, just like I'm going to come with you. Because you're not the person that I was with last time either. So I'm going to let you make your own mistakes or do your own thing right. I'm going to realize I don't know. See, when you study the Course, it teaches you so many ways to look at things that save you so much pain from the very beginning that the reason why your life is so peaceful is just because you don't get into the things that cause you conflict to begin with. And that's the secret of peace. You just don't get in the crap to begin with. But when you don't have a goal and you don't know the truth, you just jump into things and hope it turns out for the best. And in that way of acting, anything can happen to you. Because the Course says anything happens to a person. Now people wonder, why does this anything seem to happen to me? So it's because you had no idea of what should have happened. You had no goal with which to bring nothing in line with. So that's why things just happen to you. So if you're kind of person that you're always going, what do you want to be? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to be? I don't know. I don't know. Well, you're a person that stuff just going to happen to you. You just let your way and stuff going to happen to you. Because you are not giving any clear intention out to the universe. So you become the victim of everything around you. I'm telling you, these are that. All this is causing me. I'm not this smart. Okay? It's just, life is simpler than we make it. Everything is simpler and easier than we make it. So if you're sure that the decision that you're making is in line with yourself, with your higher self, then you will not be afraid. So what if you do something that you are afraid? What if you go? You know you have fear, but you're going to do it anyway? Like the way we do most of the time. Okay? A normal decision. Okay. What do you do in a situation like that? That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I think it is. What do you think is a good question? Okay, thank you. I need somebody to think it's a good question. Well, when you do it, don't be freaked out if it don't turn out the way you want it to. Mm-hmm. That's all. You know you weren't in alignment when you chose to do it. So why should you be shocked if something about it doesn't turn out the way you expected it to? I think the most ridiculous thing that we do is we know we're afraid, don't have a sense of connection with God, go after something and then act freaked out if it don't happen. And we didn't pass any of the conditions for the thing happening. First of all, I was afraid of it. First of all, I didn't even stop a minute to even ask if my decision was in line with the Holy Spirit. I made up my mind, then I asked. I made up what would make me happy. Then I tried to get, like, get the universe to act that out. I'm just really pursuing my wishes. That's what the average person is always doing. They wish for something, then they pursue it. Then they wish for something else, then they pursue it. The Course says we just run around pursuing our wishes. And I thought that was such a cool way to put it. I'm a wish pursuer. It's almost not like wish manure. You just kind of, you know, kind of like just change a couple of words, you know. And so what am I upset about? I have a wish that I didn't ask spirit's guidance on, that I do have some fear about, that I'm trying to manipulate everybody around me to help me get that wish fulfilled. They're not doing it because I really didn't even ask them if they would in the first place. I got a grievance against you for not supporting me when I didn't even ask for your support to see if you wanted to support me, but I'm mad. And now I got a grievance and now I need to go to Course. And the truth is, I created that whole scenario through never asking myself if this was really in accord with me. This section on fear and conflict is so incredible that I'm going to finish it. I'm going to continue it next week. Because it's going to describe the two things that cause fear, and it's going to describe exactly how you get beyond fear. And I've already done that already in a way, but this goes even deeper into it. The Course in Miracles is profoundly simple. So profoundly simple that it sounds complex to people. Because it's so simple. It's very different. It's not hard. This book isn't hard. It's just different. It's not hard. Nothing that I've said today is hard. It's just different. And I want, so today I'd like to ask for help in the conditions that cause us fear. I'd like to ask that we all have help in the thought, emotion, or feeling, or condition that's causing us fear. Because that would allow us, because the once you remove the bear, I'll let go of the fear. The once you remove the condition, I will let go of the feeling. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we're asking now. We're finally asking correctly. So would you acknowledge yourself, Holy Spirit, for hearing? Can I get a little acknowledgement to the experience? It's amazing the difference that it makes. I appreciate you so much because you're saving me thousands of years of pain. Every moment, the Course says, every moment we're together, it saves us 100 years of pain. Every second that we focus on the truth, that's something you didn't get into that you would have gotten into that could have caused you some pain. So I'm doing the love offering now. Thank you for sharing with me. Second, just take the focus off of self and then go let peace extend from my mind to yours. Let peace extend from my mind to yours. I'm ready to change my mind. I'm ready to change my mind. There's some things that you know you need to change your mind about, that you reached your limit in, that you don't want to go through that stuff no more. You ready to have some love and some peace and abundance in your life. Is that right?
Yes.
You ready to have relationships that you feel stronger in, more joy in, more loved in, instead of feeling unrecognized sometimes and not appreciated sometimes.
Right.
So you must change your mind and not your behavior. Change your mind and not your behavior. Change your mind and not your behavior. I'm willing to change my mind and not my behavior. I'm ready to change my mind. You do not need guidance except at the mind level. I need guidance at the mind level. I need mind guidance at the mind level. Your higher self, God in you, the spirit in you, is looking for some sign from you that you're willing. So when I give you these suggestions, it's just so that you can say a symbolic willing to your higher self. Like you say, when you say stuff like, you know, I'm ready to change my mind, I'm ready to learn, I'm ready to change my mind, I'm ready to learn, I'm ready to change my mind, I'm ready to learn, I'm ready to change my mind, I'm ready to have peace, I'm ready to have peace, I'm ready to have peace, I'm ready to change my mind, I'm ready to change my mind, I'm ready to change my mind. Why I feel responsible when I'm doing it by myself. You must change your mind. You got to change your mind and not your behavior. You do not need guidance except at the mind level. You do not need guidance except at the mind level. You do not need guidance except at the mind. Correction belongs only at the level where change is possible. Correction belongs. Guess what? Do you want to know? So the Holy Spirit said, when all else fails, what you can say is, decide for me, Holy Spirit. Which is the same as saying, decide for me, my loving right mind. Decide for me, my loving right mind. Decide for me, my higher self. Decide for me, God. Decide for me, Jesus. Decide for me, my creator. Decide for me. Decide for me. That's what you want to ask. Go. Decide for me, Holy Spirit. Class, this class is Wednesday.